If you have a copy of God's Word, if you would open it up to Psalm 67 this evening, in the moments we have left, just want to share an encouraging word from Psalm 67. And you sit there and go, why, Pastor, would we go so long? Well, before we even get to the Word, I believe missions is a vital responsibility of our church. And especially as we consider, as we partner with missionaries and we send out and we pray for and encourage. You know, it's important that we know who is going out, that we can ask questions, that we can spend time to know who you're praying for, to know that we can trust this because it's such an important task. And I think even in the book of Acts, how the importance that was given to mission, sending out Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Silas, and then we see later on as they would come and report back to the church. And just the rejoicing there. And so it is so vital we do this. But we'll take a few moments as I still believe in the power of God's Word and the necessity of it. We go because God's Word tells us to. So if you're with me, I want to read in Psalm 67, and then we'll have just a few points this evening. Psalm 67, it says this: May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Psalm 67 is a very much a missionary psalm. I begin this evening, I want to read, as we before we consider this passage, a poem that's in the book, In Faithful Witness. It says, Arm of the Lord, awake, awake. Put on thy strength, thy nation shake. And let the world adoring see triumphs of mercy wrought by thee. Say to the heathen from thy throne, I am Jehovah, God alone. Thy voice their idols shall confound and cast their altars to the ground. Let Zion's time of favor come, O bring the tribes of Israel home. And let our wandering eyes behold Gentiles and Jews in Jesus' fold. Almighty God, thy grace proclaim in every clime of every name, till adverse powers before thee fall and crown thy Savior, Lord of all. Friends, today we're looking at a very much a missionary psalm. Throughout this, we see it's a collection that emphasizes in Psalms 65 through 68, it's a collection of psalms that emphasize God's providence, God's blessing, His goodwill on the nation of Israel. And here we see a wonderful expression of God's concern for Israel. In fact, it's a psalm that we'd say is one of blessing that comes from God alone. Some have called this a Thanksgiving psalm. You might have heard this many times at a Thanksgiving service, but it's also one that is ripe with missions at its heart. In fact, as we look through here, it keeps mentioning about the nations and speaking of God to the nations. It is a theme that is consistent through Scripture. God desires for the nations to worship Him. To bring Him glory, God desires to reach the world. You know, it was in Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 12, where God tells Abraham, through you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Again, in Exodus 19, we see that Israel, they are a special nation, a kingdom of priests, that really they were to be mediators to the nations. In 1 Kings chapter 8, we see with Solomon in the temple, and it says this about the purpose of the temple. It says in 1 Kings 8, I believe it's verse 59 through 61, Let these words of mine with which I have pleaded before the Lord be near to the Lord our God day and night. And may He maintain the cause of His servant and the cause of His people Israel as each day requires, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments at this day. You know, there's many other passages. We could go to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 28. We could go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, and we see that God is still bringing the nations to him. It is our mission. But here in Psalm 67, it is a missionary psalm. It's one that speaks of bringing Jews and Gentiles together to praise God. It mentions the nations three times, the earth four times, and the people five times. And really, it's a easy breakdown. Last week in Psalm 57, we broke it down by the word Selah. Think about it. And of course, you probably saw that twice in here, but that's not how we're breaking it down this week. And just like in Psalm 57, there is another way. Look in verse 3. It says, "Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." That means verses 1 through 3 is our first point. 4 and 5, it ends in verse 5. "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." So three quick points, and I will be brief. Let's see what these are. The first one we see, as we consider this and God and the missionary purpose, we ask ourselves, if God is about reaching the nations, God is about reaching all people, and so that they'll worship him, what is our role? What is our job? And I believe we see here three things. First, we need to tell the nations of God's salvation. The world needs to hear of God's salvation. Look again, verses 1 through 3. "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us." Selah, or think about that. "That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." It's just like Jesus, who said in Luke 19, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." We see in these first three verses that we're supposed to tell the nations of God's salvation. Verse 1, we're supposed to tell of his grace or his mercy. In the ESV, it says, "May God be gracious." I believe in some other translations, perhaps in the King James, it says merciful. Tell them of his mercy, his grace, his loving kindness. He's praying, really, it's a prayer of three things, a prayer of mercy or grace, a prayer of blessing, and then he asks the psalmist, by the way, it's an unknown psalmist, but he's praying and asks that God would cause his face to shine upon us. It's an echoing of the Aaronic blessing in Numbers 6, 24 through 26. I won't read that at this point, but here's what his prayer is. He's saying here, be gracious. Are merciful. It's saying, look, there is no work salvation. We, the nations, need to know about this gracious God who reaches out and provides salvation. The blessing or the removing of the curse, and rather than receiving the wrath and judgment we deserve. But I love that phrase, make his face to shine upon us. You understand what that means? I like it this way. I give you just one personal illustration this evening, and I promise you I won't do another one. You know, in you can tell so much by somebody's expression. I'm a husband, I'm a dad. My wife likes to say sometimes she has four boys. All right, sometimes I'll say something, and you'll get this look. Like, did you really just say that? Sometimes you get a look, I can't believe you would do that. You know, my favorite is when one of my boys, now this has happened, I'm not going to say which boy, it's been multiple at different times, but sometimes one of them will get in trouble. And my favorite face is when the eyes get real big and the lips pucker together and they're serious. Chris is pointing at who it is. And they got that serious face. They know, you can just see it, they know they're in trouble. And they're fearful. Now, those faces, mom and dad have trouble not laughing at. All right? We're trying to discipline without laughing. That is very hard to do. But, you know, when you see somebody's face, you can tell they're angry. They're happy. They're quizzical. You can tell a lot of the emotions on the face. As the psalmist is saying, God, I want your face to shine upon us. Really saying, I want a favorable expression. God who is gracious, and he's looking down. It's a Van Gemeren, he notes, it's an Oriental monarch revealed in his facial expression either his pleasure or displeasure with the party that sought an audience with him. Similarly, God, the great king, assures his own that he receives them and cares for them with joy. Well, we need to tell the nations of God's salvation, one, that he's gracious, verse 2, that we must instruct in his ways and tell who he is. It says that your way may be known on all the earth. And tell them who God is. Tell them the way. And you know what specifically the way it is? It tells us as we get into the second part of verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. We need to share with the nations, tell them the truth, instruct in his ways of salvation, that God blesses the world through his salvation. You know, it's as we look through here, God's blessing is poured out on Israel. But it's not just that he's blessing them, it's he's blessing them in order that they will share with the world who God is. At church, when God blesses here, whether it's finances, new members, growth, it's not about Spring Hill Baptist Church. It's not about so we can sit there and go, we had 100 this week. We had 150. You know, praise God. Jeff, I'm just thrilled with that 63 number. But what's the point? It's not about the number. It's we want them to know Christ. When God is blessing, he blesses us so that we can share his name to the world. That's what missions is. And so in verse 3, we see about the praise. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And the blessings give way to worship. His salvation that's going to the nations. And we all join in praise. The time betrays me, so let's keep going. Just a few more points here. Not only do we tell the nations of God's salvation in the first three verses, secondly, in verse 4 and 5, we tell the nations of God's righteousness. It says, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. We have a great God who's revealed himself to the world. He let us know about who he is and what is required of him with the express purpose that we're sharing who he is to the nations. And what is it he tells us here in these verses? It says, look, he is a God of justice. He will always do what is right, and it's a reason to sing for joy. Oh, why should we be glad? Why should we sing for joy? It says here in verse 4, it says, you judge the peoples with equity or righteously, justly. And not only that, it's a kind of a repetition. You guide the nations or you govern the nations on the earth. It's really the idea of a shepherd king. He leads us, he guides us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And we know who that king is. It is the King Jesus. But God judges people without partiality. And Peter, he said in Acts 10:34, when he saw Gentiles being converted, he said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. You know, when God judges, it's not based on skin color, gender, your wealth, your place in society. It's not based on where you were born, what's your nationality, or how smart you are. As John Piper says, no bribes will be considered, no sophisticated plea bargaining. All will proceed on the basis of God's unimpeachable righteousness. God will judge fairly and rightly. And that we see is a reason to rejoice. That's what verse 5 is. He is a God of joy. It's one that we can celebrate and worship, and all the peoples praise him. Verse 6 and 7, though, we see one final thing. Not only do we tell the nations of God's salvation, secondly, we tell the nations of God's righteousness, but thirdly, we tell the nations of God's goodness. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. You see, the goodness of God is not limited. God's goodness goes everywhere. There is no way that we can rein it in. There's no bounds to it. The Lord blesses his people. This final stanza, it contains really the only mention in this psalm of a bountiful and fruitful harvest. You know, in a land where people live from day to day, in lands perhaps of starvation and difficulty, in Israel, he's speaking to Israel and the difficulties they might face and the ever-abundant danger all around them. He's saying, look, here is great cause for praise and celebration. We have a good God. One that you can trust, one that you can worship, and one that you can that we should fear. He says in verse 6, we see that God desires to bless. He desired to bless Israel. The earth shall yield her increase. It's meant to be in the, while Hebrew, there's a differences in tense. It's really saying, look, God is blessing Israel. There was confidence there that they would be blessed and that God is going to keep the covenant that he had promised Israel. He had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he had promised to, in Genesis 12 to Abraham, that he promised to the nation as a whole in Deuteronomy, that he said to David in 2 Samuel 7, he will do exactly what he says. And for that, they should praise him. They should honor him. They should fear him. Verse 7 begins just like verse 8 or verse 6 ended when it said, our God shall bless us. Verse 7, God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. It ends with this theme of blessing on his people. And once again, we can't miss this crucial point. He blessed Israel for the salvation of the nations. The material and spiritual prosperity, it's great, it's wonderful. The earth yields its increase. God blessed them, and God blessed them. But why? So that all the ends of the earth will fear him. He couldn't be more clear. He desires the world in verse 2 that they would know God. And why? So that they would fear him. So they would worship him. They would bring him glory. You know, that's our question this evening. We've had missionaries in last week. We have the Galbraiths in today. We're going to have hear from the Crossroads Pregnancy Care Center next week in the Paulies, and we ask ourselves, what am I doing? What is the point? How do I, at this time, in this place, what is my part in God's redemptive plan? It's quite simple, as we see here today. Make God known. They need to hear about God's salvation. They need to know the way, the truth, and the life that is only found in Jesus Christ so that they may fear God. That means they're going to follow him, serve him, worship him. It makes us go, how do I pray? How do I give? Why do I pray? Why do I give? Because we want the world to know Christ. For the sake of his name. Church, I would love for God to bless this church beyond our imagination. We've been praying for goals this year, but the goals are nothing if it's not focused right. We want the world to know of our God, of his salvation, so that they too may serve and worship him. Would you pray with me this evening? Lord, tonight there's so much more we could have said, so much more time we could have spent here in Psalm 67, but Lord, the message is simple and abundantly clear that we need to make the world know who you are. May they hear the message of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Lord, we serve a risen Savior. As we think even today of the UK and Scotland, Lord, there's many people who don't know. Many people who would claim to be a Christian, we heard, but it's a heritage thing. That is not relationship. It is not one that knows who you are and who Jesus is. Lord, we pray that that light would go forth. That Scotland, that Spring Hill area of South Charleston, that our communities will know you and your salvation so that they may worship you. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you that you would use us in our brokenness and our weakness. You would use us to accomplish your purpose. I thank you so much, Lord. May we truly be open to allowing you to guide and direct as you lead. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Altar's open if you need to pray. If you want to know more about this salvation, oh, what a joy.